At the end of today's Holy Gospel, again as last Sunday, the Gospel of the end of the world, our blessed Savior assures us, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This Thanksgiving Sunday, what a cause for gratitude we at St. Gertrude have. We've been spared all the fuss that's going on now. We've been proven right once again, and if we are right now, then we were right then. And they're coming back to where we've been all along. Well, yes, of course, but right about what in particular? Do you have any Novus Ordo friends or relatives who told you about how they're having their form of a new Mass again this Sunday? Their service is entirely retranslated, it seems, some 40 years after the fact, and this time in a somewhat more Catholic direction, the sense of trying to capture the sense of the sacred, complete with a few accurate theological terms, consubstantial, for example. And even the valid words for the consecration of the wine, for you and for many, at long last. Oh, it's still a new Mass, and not a true one, but today marks a major defeat for the new religion, which Montini, Paul VI, in his modernist crew, tried to impose upon the Church in the turbulent years after Vatican II. We don't have to worry about the accuracy of translations because we worship in Latin, not a dead language. I don't like it when people call Latin a dead language. Manx is a dead language. They used to speak it on the Isle of Man, English in the British Channel. Navajo, that's pretty much of a dead language. Sadly, even Aramaic is almost a dead language, but Latin is not dead. It is immortal. It is unchanging. Even as it is studied and spoken throughout the world. And thus, the perfect vehicle for preserving the precise phraseology of our prayers and thus of our doctrine as Catholics. Why? Why do we have Mass in Latin? Nothing wrong, you know, with asking why. That's how we learn. Why do we worship in Latin? Now, you old timers, battle scars and all, you remember 40 years ago as if it were yesterday, when it seemed that it was all about Latin, the Latin Mass, we'd say. It never really was. It was about the real Mass and the real Church. But Latin was the shibboleth. It was the war cry. But since then, you have had children and grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren. And I wonder, do you all know why we have Mass in Latin? Last week we looked at that lovely Latin hymn originally composed for the first Sunday of Advent, now used at our Requiem Masses, the Dies Irae, that splendid poetry. They say there's up to 300 English translations attempting to capture in one translation the sense of it. But any sensible translator knows no one's done it so far. A physician, a certain Dr. Cole of Newark, did 18 translations in his spare time. And he said, really, at the 18th, he wasn't any closer to capturing all that the Dies Irae is in one version. And he went on to try it 5 more times, still without success. Because you see, it's hard to translate from one language to another. Indeed, the Italians have a saying, traduttore traditore, the translator is a traitor, from the Latin word traditor, literally one who hands something over. The last great persecution in the Roman Empire under Diocletian sought to compel the clergy, priests and bishops, deacons, to hand over the sacred books to the authorities for destruction under pain of death. And those who did were known as the traditores, the traitors. Those who seized our sacred books in the 1960s and rewrote them in a heretical sense, and the other ones who just went along and handed our books over to be rewritten, they're the traitors of Catholicism. With their books, they betrayed Christ. They betrayed you. Why didn't we? Why is Latin so important? If you will pardon me for a moment of what they call today product placement, I will mention Father Cicada's book. If you want to know the why, as they say, you could look it up. In the old days, they used to have door-to-door salesmen in the 19th century, and they would sell encyclopedia-type books. I remember one was called The Cabinet of Catholic Information. Big, thick book. Anything you wanted to know, you could look it up. Anything you want to know about the Mass, about Catholic worship, about the changes, which is almost everything in our faith, you're going to find here. I should find this book in each one of your homes, well thumbed and marked. Be able, the Apostle says, to give a reason for the faith that is in you. Well, today I'm going to explain it to you, but remember, you could look it up yourself. We have Latin because, first of all, it is a sacred language. One of the three used at Calvary, and the Mass is Calvary. Latin, Greek, and Hebrew are all three used in the Holy Mass, but mostly Latin. Latin, why? Because it is, secondly, it is sanctified by long centuries. It is separated from everyday exchanges, the ephemeral of economy and entertainment and common talk. Latin is sacred. It's not secular. It is the language we speak in the sanctuary, in the presence of the All Holy, where some words are so sacred, they are only whispered. Next, we have Latin because of unity. Remember what they used to say? Anywhere in the world you go, the Mass would be offered in the same way. In the old days, it is the same thing for us. You find a good priest saying a proper Mass, it will be the Latin Mass. You could be in France, not speak a word of that language, and yet when you get to Mass, you'd feel at home again. How important, because people travel now more than ever before. Catholic, according to the whole. Thirdly, the Latin is unchangeable. Translations are needed from time to time because a living language changes its meaning. There's a phrase we had in the epistle the other Sunday, and I usually adapt it. God is my witness how I long after all of you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That would make no sense to us. We would say heart anymore. Or the old translations of the Summa of Thomas Aquinas. I have one in which the angelic doctor seems to say that you've got to have a host made out of corn for the consecration. But that's just the old English word for wheat. But that's a crucial difference, isn't it? If we had a host made out of corn, we'd have a tortilla, but we certainly wouldn't have a valid Mass. Tradition, the fourth reason. That's part of human nature, that worship should hold fast to the old forms. It's too sacred to think of changing it. My grandparents prayed this way. All of my saints prayed this way. And I'm going to change it. Besides, who wants to change the Latin? The battle for the vernacular has always been the thin wedge in the door used by heretics to change the faith. Dom Guéranger says, hatred of Latin is inborn in all of the enemies of Rome. They know that Latin is an arsenal of orthodoxy, a wonderful weapon against error, and the bond amongst Catholics everywhere. It is the master stroke of the Protestant revolt to have declared war on a sacred language. Their leaders, just like Paul VI and the Mason Bugnini and the rest, in translating, changed the language so as to change the belief of the average Catholic. You know, in the King James Bible, an elegant affair to be sure, but what does Gabriel say to Our Lady in that Protestant book, Hail, thou highly favored one, which is not at all the same as full of grace. And in the Novus Ordo, they don't say, blessed are the poor in spirit, happy are the poor in spirit. That's not the same. And salvation is always made to be health or well-being. And the sacrificial victim, that becomes a gift or an offering. Quite a different sense. Why has the Church never changed Latin? You might say, in a way, she never got around to, because until recent times, Latin was the common language of everyone who was educated throughout Christendom, throughout the West, for centuries, going back to the fathers of the Church or the fathers of our country, none of whom were Catholic, but all of whom knew their Latin as well as their Greek. They were educated men, whether it be homeschooling or public school or private school. If you wanted to get an education, you started out with a Latin grammar book open in front of you. And Latin is still taught today in certain public high schools. No connection with religion, but every connection with culture is the very basis of our language. Teaches you how languages work, and it teaches you to think. Not a bad idea today. Well, what about the treasures of doctrine and of piety which we would find in the Missal? The liturgy is, of course, the very source of spirituality, second product placement today. We sell missals in our gift shop. You could find one sometimes still in an old second-hand store, the Latin on one side, the English on the other. But besides, even if you don't, and you should, come to church with your missal in hand, besides, every Catholic has at least a general sense of what's being said at the altar. You probably know more Latin than you realize. That's how cognates work. But in any case, we communicate in a way which is deeper than words, the wordless language of symbol. That's universal, like the Latin. I mean, kneeling, incense or candles, beating the breast. They're going back to doing that again today, too. And don't worry about visitors or about children not understanding the Mass. It is true, most Americans do have trouble even understanding symbols and how symbols affect them. People in advertising have it all figured out, but they have nothing on us Catholics, nor have those who today are becoming slightly more Catholic in their worship. Let me conclude with a language story from St. Lutgard, medieval mystic. She was a Cistercian nun in Belgium and very close to Christ, on familiar terms. One day she asked our Lord for something big. She said, unlike our St. Gertrude, never had an education. But she wanted to know Latin so she would know what she was praying in church all day long. Of course, the Psalms, the Divine Office. Our Lord granted it to her. She immediately understood every word of the Latin. 2 or 3 weeks later, they were talking, and St. Lutgard said, "You know, Lord, that Latin, could you take that away?" Now, our Lord probably thought, typical women changing their mind. And he said to her, "Why?" And she explained, "I can't pray anymore, Lord. All these words and all these ideas come in, but the prayer goes out the door." Our Lord sighed and said, "Very well, Lutgard, but tell me, what do you want?" And she answered, "I want your heart, Lord. I want you." "Well," Jesus answered, "that's all I want. I want your heart as well." It's easy in religion, isn't it, to miss the essentials. What with worship wars and other kinds of battles all the time. That old Negro spiritual, "Give me Jesus," points out what it really is all about. His words will not pass away. The words of this Mass, down through the corridor of the centuries, have given Jesus to generation after generation of Catholics. So I will conclude with the saint, "Non nisi te Domine, non nisi te." Translation, "Just you, O Lord, that's all I want. Just you." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.